The title of my message is Unlikely, because this was such an unlikely event. Okay, let me just paint this picture to you, all right, because I can't get into the whole story of John chapter 4. Jesus had been ministering in the area of Judea. This is early in his ministry. Okay, Judea is in the south. So if you can show that picture really quick. Okay, so Judea is in the south. That's where Jerusalem and Bethlehem is at, right? You know, Judah is what they used to call it before. It's one of the names of the tribes. Okay, and then, but remember, Jesus actually grew up in the area of Galilee, okay, in the area of Capernaum. So he told his disciples, okay, we're done here in Judea. We got to go north, and we got to go to this place called, we got to go through this place called Samaria, okay? And it says that they walk by this city. It's about 10 kilometers from Samaria, the capital, because the capital of that region was also named the same way. It's Samaria, the region, and Samaria, the city. Well, they were actually in Sychar. Everybody say Sychar. I just wanted you to say that. There's really no meaning behind that, but it's about 10 kilometers from there to. So it was very close to this area. But the thing about this, to give you a little bit of background on this story, we got to jump to verse 9, okay? Actually, let's go to verse 7. Is that okay? I'm going to have Ms. Brenda jump through hoops here. Verse 7, it says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' And it says, his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.'" Okay? So, let me jump ahead a little bit. The Samaritans were people that were not, had a lot of bad blood with the Jews. Because even though they were Hebrews, you know, around 726 before Christ, they had been conquered by the Assyrians. Okay, the Assyrians came, and God let this happen because they had gone into all kinds of shenanigans, you know, idolatry and sin. They had departed, you know, from the Mosaic law. They were in trouble. And God said, "Well, you guys are walking away from me, I'm walking away from you." So he let the Assyrians come in and pretty much, you know, siege that area, you know, what they used to call the kingdom of the north, you know, which, and its capital was in Samaria, okay? And they took a bunch of those people captive, you know, to the area of the Assyrians, you know, where you've heard of Nineveh, that's part of the kingdom of the Assyrians, okay? And so after some years, some of them trickled back. But while that was happening, some people settled there. And so what you had is you had a bunch of peoples that began to intermix. And so you had like the Jewish religion, okay, the Mosaic law of the Hebrews. And then you had all these other peoples with their religious practices. And they began to intermix all that. Okay, they began to have what they call syncretism, you know, and so they began to worship wherever they wanted. Because before, they had to go to either the tabernacle or they had to go to the temple. And everybody knows that the temple, you know, of Solomon was actually in Jerusalem, you know, which is in the south, right? But this people just kind of said, "Hey, we're going to come up with our own religion. We're going to do things the way we want." And I just want to say a lot of us kind of do that. We try to devise a God and a religion that just suits our lifestyle. And that just doesn't work. We have to do things God's way. Okay, so there was a lot of animosity. The Jews, they were the holier than thou. They looked down on the Samaritans because, "Oh, you're a mixed people. You're a different, really a different ethnic group. You have other races mixed in, and you have other, you know, religious, you know, values as well in your makeup." Okay, so, excuse me. So there was this animosity going on right here. So why am I going through all the trouble to show you the history of the Samaritans and the Jews? It's because I want to tell you that there's always a context. There's always a history. When we come to Christ, when you're here today, we see you all nice and clean. You took a shower. You smell pretty good. We're smiling. We give other people's hugs. But in reality, there's a context. Thank you, brother. We all come into church. There's actually some right here, but, you know, I can use all I can. And so the problem is that in our culture, you know, we tend to be very friendly and outward. When somebody says, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing?" we just respond likewise. "How you doing?" My dad used to mess with people, and he would say, "Hey, Luis, how you doing? Do you have 30 minutes? I was like, "Whoa. I wasn't expecting that." I'm just messing with you, you know. You know, it's because we really don't want to get to the issues. We don't really want to find out how you're doing. But I want to tell you that when we come to Jesus, like this Samaritan woman, he's going to get in your business, okay? He knows the context. He knows your history. He knows your dysfunction. He knows the things that only you know, all the things that you're going through. And some of us want to move on with God, but we want to do it without addressing our dysfunction. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. I gotta talk about that. I gotta talk about your situation. I gotta get in there so I can heal you properly, so I can, you know, look over the situation and show you what I think about it. Because sometimes we're terrified of our past. We're terrified of our history. We don't want anyone else to know. It's too painful sometimes. But if we read in the story here, you know, it says that verse 10, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, who it is to ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. Sir, the woman said, you have none to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water well enough to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, all right, let's deal with your situation. Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She's starting to get religious. She's trying to, you know, sidetrack Jesus, distract him a little bit from the issue at hand. But Jesus says, hold on. No. And that's what the Spirit of God will do. When you come into his presence, sometimes you'll feel like God begins to convict you. God begins to take you to those places that you don't want to go. But he's saying, no, I have to deal with those places. When we have altar calls, it's important that you respond to them, because it's the Spirit prompting you to come here and deal with that particular situation, you know, under the love of God, under the revelation of God. Amen? So, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He said, let's not talk about all this religious stuff. Let's talk about the real issues. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he, and I'm here to look at your situation. If you think about it, you know, the people back then didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have bottled water. They didn't have Evian. They didn't have Fiji water. I know we like our different sorts. You know, if you're like me, you're just happy with the great value from Walmart, you know. Just get a 24, you know, and just... But the fact is that we have water everywhere we want to go. Back then, it was painful. It was drudgery. You know, every day they have to walk outside. And in this case, she's going to Jacob's well. She said, hey, this is the religious part of her. You know, she's going to that place that historically Jacob, the son of Isaac, you know, the son of Abraham, you know, he had dug this well and had given it to them, to this people. All right, so she's going every day to draw water. And sometimes, you know, we try to quench our thirst. We try to quench, you know, the dysfunctions in our lives, you know, with things that don't really address it the way it's supposed to. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say? You know, unless we let Jesus get at the issues, get at the dysfunction, get at the problem, get at the pain, get at your grief, get at your past, and talk about it and heal it, you know, then you're not going to move on. Now let me tell you, there's a difference between psychology and what God does. Psychology says, hey, let's revisit your problems. Let's go back to when you were a child. Let's go back when you were a teenager. Let's go back to this particular stage in your life. Because if you didn't go through that stage of your life correctly, you can't really move on. But the problem is that after the hour ends, you've talked about all your problems. You know, he says, okay, time's up. Thank you. You know, like, and now you got to pick up all your problems back with you and walk out. And there's really no transformation. But when Jesus said, hey, I want to talk about your problem, I want to talk about your dysfunction, is because he wants to to get at the issue, and he wants to show you how when you told him about all the bad things that happened to you, he doesn't flinch. He says, I know, that's why I came. I didn't come to save the righteous, I came to save the unrighteous. You know, and I love you, you know, and I knew that about you already. And I'm wanting to, you know, heal you. I want to save you. And something happens when we believe his words. You know, the Bible says the truth will set you free. You know, once you look over those situations under the light of God, there's a transformation. There's a healing that happens. And then you can move on to the next stage of your life. Because this is what God was after. Yes, he wanted to save her so that she can go to heaven. But more than that, he had a plan for her life. And this is really big, because this woman was a Samaritan, and she was a woman. Just in case you haven't noticed today, we believe in women's ministry. We believe. Come on. It's not about equality and all this stuff. It's like, what did God call the woman to do? We as the church need to allow women to fill the places that God has called them to do. As simple as that. And we see it in the Bible all over the place. Yes, most of the leaders were men. Yes, you know, it was in the Jewish culture, you know, there was all these men. But even in the old and the new, there was all these women that served. Why? Because God appointed them. And we have to recognize as a church body, hey, this Pastor Angela, you know, her husband is an elder. She's a pastor. Why? Because we saw the gift of God in her life, because she's anointed, because she has a discernment and a wisdom, you know, and a love and a care for the sheep. And when we recognize that gift, then we have to, you know, let her walk in her function, walk in her purpose. Amen? So this is what's happening here. You know, Jesus is saying, hey, the first evangelist to Samaritan people is going to be a woman. Isn't that crazy? The first person that saw Jesus, or the first people that saw Jesus after he resurrected, you know, the most important part of our faith, because without the resurrection, what hope would we have that we can go to heaven, that we can have eternal life, that we can leave the old man and walk in the new? It was the resurrection power. And obviously we have Easter coming up, and that's going to be really awesome, right? But he chose women. I think he was trying to make a statement. All right? Is that okay that if I say that? I know that. I think God really wanted me to say that. So I'm going to jump in into verse 39. I'm just going to go to the end. It says, many of the Samaritans from that time believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. You know, and to give people a testimony is just... it's just to tell people, hey, this is what God did for me. There was a blind man that was healed by Jesus, and he says, all I know, you know, is that I was blind before, and now I'm not. I don't know all the theology. I don't know all the doctrine. I don't know exactly how it happened. All I know is that no one else could heal me, but Jesus healed me. And that's all you need to do. And so this woman began to tell the people in the town of Sychar, hey, look, there's a man who's telling me everything about my life, and he loves me, and he's a prophet, and I think he's the Messiah. You need to come and hear him. So it says that they all heard it. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. God wants to stop you from going to the well that just basically puts a little superficial coat on your wound, and he really wants to get down deep and really heal it, because he has a purpose for your life. Amen. And so in the days to come, you know, we're gonna have a season where we're gonna have a lot of visitors, and Easter is a time when a lot of people come to churches because of tradition. But you and I are going to be praying for them. This Friday, we're going to be praying for them. We're going to ask that God will touch their hearts, and that their eyes will be open. And just like this people said, I no longer believe just because of what you said, because you might have brought them, you might have invited them, but now I believe because I know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And we need to take our place, and you need to be, you know, ready. I'm not going to get to the quotes, Brenda, because I think that will be just too much. But I'm just going to jump to what I really want to say. I want to ask you all to be in prayer, you know, for this season. Like I said, we have Good Friday, we have the sunrise service, and we have the Easter service, and there's going to be a lot of people coming to those, and we want people to get saved. You know, we don't really care what church they go to. You know, for them to come meet Jesus, right? So our job is just to spread the seeds, like we've been saying. We just want to spread the seeds. And so I want to teach you something we call the prayer of the three, and this is really more for connection groups. But the idea is that every person pick three people to pray for the next 30 days. And we don't have quite 30 days, but I want you to just every day, every time you remember, there's three people that you know in this city that God has called you to reach out, that the Holy Spirit has already been telling you, hey, we need to love on these people. Amen. Maybe that person is here right now. You've already been praying for them. But I want you to pray for three people total, and so that you just smother them in prayer. We're going to just kind of go to God and what is that scripture in the NIV that says shamelessly persistent. We want to be shamelessly persistent and knocking at the door of heaven and say, God, I pray for this person. I want them to be saved. Lord God, have mercy in their lives. Make a way. Open their eyes. Remove their blindness. Amen. And to let the miracle of life just happen. Amen. And you're doing your job. You're going to bring them. And then the message of the gospel will be preached. And they will come, you know, and give their lives to Jesus. Because God loves them more than we do, which is really cool. You know, we're not trying to make it happen. We're not trying to convince people with arguments. It's the Spirit of God drawing them and saying, hey, I got a water that's going to satisfy your thirst. You know, you've been going to this particular well. Maybe it was alcohol. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was entertainment. You know, maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was something that you were trying to fill that vacuum or to keep your mind occupied because you didn't want to be thinking about it. But God is saying, no, let's come deal with it. Let me heal you and let me save you. Amen? All right. I'm going to close with this as the worship team comes up. I want to ask Brother Cesar Ochoa. He's going to come and remind us of a word that he gave to us last year. I really felt this was an appropriate time for us to hear. So, let me give you.
Early this morning, the Lord, in prayer, spoke to my heart, and He instructed me. He said, "Remind my saints." I thought, "Remind them, remind them." He's told me three times that I just wasn't sure, and I told Gloria, "The Lord's speaking to me. I'm not sure I understand." He says, "Remind them of the instruction that I gave them." And the instruction was, about a year ago, this week, coming up, he says, as I commissioned my disciples, I commission you. And in this word, the Lord gave us an instruction 1 week, like I said, last year. And I didn't know that until after I was frantically looking for it. I know I gave a copy to Pastor Carolyn, because she had asked me for it. And so I had to rewrite, I found portions of it. And the word of the Lord is to Shiloh and to Shiloh Centro Cristiano as well. It says, precious ones, not only do I desire that you know my power and manifest presence for yourself, but I have created you, I have called you, I have anointed you to demonstrate my power, to carry my manifest presence to those who do not know me. In past seasons, some of you have disqualified yourselves by leaning on your own understanding and inadequacies, your fears, and striving in your own strength, and therefore rejected my move. Many of you have asked that I send another. But now, today, hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear, and you will obey. You will speak forth my word with power, with precision, and authority that will lift, that will shift, that will shake the atmosphere where you live. Arise, church. Walk in humility, in obedience, and walk in purity. For my glory has risen upon you. Now as my light bearers, you will carry, you will demonstrate, you will advance my kingdom purposes. Beginning with you, your homes, and your city. Beloved, are you ready and are you willing to go? I do hear the heart of the hungry that cry out to me and says, yes, Lord, send me. Now watch. I will launch you out and I will catapult you forward into kingdom destiny to declare my word, to prophesy, to heal, to declare my word, to teach, to restore not only my people, but the lost and the dying and the wayward, says the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, I am the Lord that heals you, restores you, and redeems you. I am Yahweh, Adonai Rapha. This is not what I do, but it's who I am. It is my name which reflects my nature and my character, my attributes, my will, says Adonai. My name never changes. And even as I commissioned my disciples in Scripture, so I now commission you. Now go, go and proclaim the good news of my kingdom. Heal the sick, church. Deliver the oppressed. Usher in the lost and the dying and the oppressed. Open their eyes that are blind. Open their ears that are deaf. I will be with you, says the Lord. Do this in humility, in gentleness, and do it in respect. Loved ones, lift up your voice and declare that my kingdom is here for you, for this city. Obey me, for I have spoken.
Well, I didn't know exactly what was all in that word. I remember he shared it last year. But it doesn't seem so appropriate to what God is saying today. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the people that Peter preached to, it says that they were cut through their heart. In Luke 24, it says that when Jesus walked with those men on the road to Emmaus, it says that their hearts were burning. If your heart is burning this morning, and you're just like, you know what, I just want more of God. We're going to sing one more song, but I want to make the altar available. And just come as you are. Whatever it is that you need, if you need salvation, you know, if you need just a, you know, prayer for encouragement, whatever you need, we're going to make the altar available. Let's all stand as we worship.
Amen. Keep your heart in the stream.